It's a new day, a new year, and a new decade for us. And what we want to look at this morning is what is the vision for our church in the next few years? But more than that, what is the vision that God has for your life? So get your journal, get ready to take some notes, because I think this is extremely important to take a look at where God wants us to go and where He wants you to go in the days ahead. We've got a lot to celebrate. A little over 6 years ago, we started over in the village. But then about a little over 3 years ago, we came on this campus. But that's what we've seen God do. But what the most important and most exciting part is what God wants to do in the days ahead. So I'd like for us just to kind of begin to roll that out. And just a word of caution, you never drift into God's vision. It's like blazing a trail and ground that you've never gone over before, with all the briars and all the bushes and all the rocks and all the stuff you have to negotiate. God's vision is not something we drift into. It's blazing a new trail that challenges everything about us. I wanted us to use this scripture that we read this morning about God's vision for the children of Israel as they are released from bondage in Babylon and are able to come back home. And it's an incredible thing for them that now that they've gotten there and they've been there for 70 years and now they've sort of settled in, now they begin to come back. And the vision of going back home is incredible to them. I want us to learn from that. I want us to look at five things that is required to blaze this trail. You do not drift into it. You blaze this trail. Five things. And the first one is this. By the way, you can miss it. You can miss it. And that's the scary thing. And the thing that we'll miss, you know, if we didn't go back at the very first verse of this chapter, he says, fear not. And then verse 5, he says, fear not. There's fear involved in blazing this new trail because it's all unknown. And be careful that you don't miss it. So number one is move forward with God's vision and not backward. There's always a moving forward and not back. We've got a lot to celebrate at Briarcliff, but we can't keep looking back to what God has done. We need to be focused now on what God wants to do in the future. Look at verse 18. Remember not the former things. What are the former things? Well, they were remembering how God delivered the children of Israel years and years ago from bondage out of Egypt. They kept glorifying God in that. And that's sure, that's good. But what God is trying to tell them in Babylon, you ain't seen nothing yet. Look at what I have in store for you today. Don't keep going back and looking at that. The former things. Let me tell you some of the former things you have to forget. Is former methods. Methods come and go. And I've noticed many times a method in a church has a shelf life. But methods in a church many times can become golden calves. That you begin to worship that rather than the God who is to worship. And so methods kind of come and go, and we want to hang on to them. Many times it's hard for us to even let go of a method, but you cannot go back. Have you ever tried to go back to your high school reunion or college reunion? Isn't that exciting? I remember going back to my high school and then college reunion. And I went away so depressed. All the people had gotten old. And all they wanted to talk about is back then. And I wanted to stand up, especially I remember in the high school reunion I was at, and they kept talking about all the wonderful basketball game. And I wanted to stand up and say, get a life. Get a life. Move forward. But they love living in the past. And you can't go back. You can't go back. The minute you cross that line of graduation in college, it's all different. And you cannot go back. We must be focused on moving forward with God's vision. Number two, be willing to let go of the old and change. Oh, that word change. The next part of this verse says, nor consider the things of old. There's going to be something on the screen here I want you to write down. Henry Blackaby said it. You cannot go with God and stay the way you are. Did that miss being on there? I'll say it again so you can write it down, because I don't want you to miss it. You cannot stay the way you are. Write that much down. You cannot stay the way you are and go with God. That's sobering, is it not? You cannot stay the way you are right now. If you want to go with God, you cannot stay the way you are right now. You cannot stay the way you are right now if you want to go with God. If you're here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the first thing has to happen is change. And what change there is you need, there has to be a change in the ownership of your life. Repent and submit your life to Him. A change in ownership is first thing to require. The day I resist changing is the day I stop growing. And statistics show that many people level off and they get to a comfort level in their Christian life, so they call it, and they stay at this because they resist the change. I've told you many times before that one of the main reasons I came to Briar Cliff is I needed the challenge. I needed something that would pull me out to change my life. So thank you for allowing me this opportunity. And you've given me plenty of challenges. Thank you for that. And I know that I cannot remain the same if I want to go with God. This church cannot remain the same if we want to move with God. And the moment I start resisting that is the moment that I stop growing. Number three, looking for what God is doing and join Him. That's the third thing. It's critically important to look for what God is doing. Not try to come up with a dream of your own, not come up with a vision of your own. Look for what God is doing and then join Him. Look at it says, verse 19, behold, in other words, that means look, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Can we see what new thing God is wanting to do in our church? Can you see what new thing God wants to do in your life? What is it new that God wants to do in you? Well, let me tell you kind of how that works around here. In the summer, our staff gets together and we start planning and trying to figure out, okay, what does God want to do in this next year? We want to remove all diddle marks, and we want to look at how are we going to blaze a new trail in any kind of way at all? And then in October, we have another retreat, and we come together and we begin to bring those plans together and see how they fit together and how they might even challenge one another or team up together. And then later on, after we get all that together, and only after we get all that together, then we put down the cost. What kind of leadership it's going to take, but also what kind of dollars it's going to take. Because it doesn't just happen. We know that we never float down the stream to a new year. It's blazing a brand new trail. And for the next few moments, I want us to look at what is ahead in this new trail. And grant you that many times there is fear involved in this new thing of what God is wanting to do, because you never know quite how it's going to turn out, and usually it does not turn out the way you initially see it at first until you get farther and farther along, and then you can see a better trail. I'm going to lay out some of that today, and then next week I'll lay out even more. Next week we'll talk more about the Next Generation Ministries, and we'll talk more about that Eagle Camp that Timothy was talking about a moment ago, and the missions, though, we're going to start with today. So what is God doing in the area of missions around the world? It is incredible. Every week I get an e-news. It's called, I think, Christian News of the Day, whatever it is. And I'm just blown away by seeing and hearing and looking at what God is doing around the world. And I want to say, God, do it here too. Help us to see what you want to do. Do not let us in America be forsaken. So what is it that God wants to do as far as our missions is involved? Well, first of all, it will be a year of expansion. Just write down 2020, a year of expansion, locally, nationally, and internationally. Let's start locally first, Lansing. We've got a great team of people that go out to Lansing and been doing an incredible ministry out there. In fact, you had the opportunity to meet one of the inmates that is now out, and that inmate actually is working on staff of the church in Southwest Missouri. And so they have the opportunity, and you have the opportunity. One of the things that we all have a part in is that we, toward the Thanksgiving and Christmas, prepare a tremendous meal and put on a banquet for them and their families, and it touches their hearts. You all can be involved in that. And it'll continue to expand this year of what we're able to do at that. Another local one is City Union Mission. And we have a team of people that go down there and serve in various ways. My heart is always goes out to City Union Mission because that's the first place that I began to minister when I first came to Kansas City. I didn't have any place to preach, so I went down there every Monday. Took my old guitar, and I would, because they didn't care much about how you could sing or play. And so I did a lot of practicing there. And saw lives touched. City Union Mission is going through a transition right now. And so we're going to be working with them. Dan will be going down to meet with them in just a real short future. And we're going to be looking at seeing what City Union Mission is going to be in the future and taking a look at our gifts and where we best line up with what they're able to do. And that will involve many of you, because it'll line up with your passion and your desires and your giftedness. And so, not sure what that trail is going to look like, but we'll be rolling that out some in the future. Another thing that we do that I've been so pleased with is transitional housing at Avondale, and that we have an apartment there, along with, I think there's 10 or 12 apartments there. And it's transitional because the people that do not have a job, they do not have a place to live, and they can come and live there if they meet certain qualifications. They got to be serious about doing something. This is not emergency relief of a handout. It's helping them get back on their feet. So they got 3 months to be there. There's a lot of discipline in that. They go through financial counseling and other kinds of counseling, and they teach them how to make a resume and get a job. And then by the end of 3 months, if they've got some money enough, that they go out and get a place of their own because they now have a job. And most all of them are success stories. We have the opportunity here that we provide in our fellowship area a place for them to do training on a Mondays. And we provide a place for graduation. It'd be good for you just to come and watch a graduation sometime and listen to them as they stand up and tell their story about what they were then and what they are now, and they're graduating and they now got a job. We have one of them that actually, one of our persons here at the church helped them get on at Honeywell. And now they're doing great. But then they had nothing. And so we're able through this ministry to provide a lot of stuff. Now, here's some of the ways that you get involved. When they move in, that's every 3 months, then we have to get the apartment ready for them. And then when there's birthdays for the kids and different kind of celebrations, then we can join with them in that. One thing that we've got to increase in our ability to do there, and that is to bring spiritual light into their life. We need to build relationships that we can get them here and build relationships that will grow spiritually. And that can be involve you in some way to help them in that growing process. Now, what about nationally? Most of the time, I think we think Alaska is a foreign nation. But it is not. It is part of our nation. It's national. And we have a couple, Travis and Julie, that are missionaries there from our church. And it's a camp. And they work diligently there. And it ministers to a lot of kids that come from surrounding areas that really do not have a very biblically based church. And so many come to know Christ. It's a way for them to grow. And there's a lot of construction work to go on. If you like to swing a hammer at something besides somebody else, and you want to do it in a productive way, then that might be a place. Wouldn't you like to go to beautiful Alaska around August time? Think about it. That might be something that you could get involved in. And we'll continue to see that flourish, I think, in the days ahead. And you can be involved. It's called Echo Bible Camp in Alaska. And you could be right there helping out. Now, what about international? This is probably going to be one of the greatest expansions that we'll see in the year 2020. And that is expanding internationally. We'll continue, listen carefully, we will continue Operation Christmas Child, I think, better perhaps than we've ever done it before. But the strategy is different. The strategy will be this, that every one of you will take a box, a shoe box, and at least one or two or three or four, and fill them up with your family, with you, or in your small group. There is nothing that we do, let me say it again, there's nothing that we do that touches as many people that do not know Christ as Operation Christmas Child. It goes into regions that have never heard of Jesus, and they receive a small gift. The children receive a small gift along with the gospel. And we know from results through Operation Christmas Child that many, many respond in coming to Christ. And hundreds, there is nothing that we do that gets the gospel in more hands of unbelievers than Operation Christmas Child. Now, how many boxes could we pack next year? Let's throw out a number. Let's talk about, suppose we have 1,000 that we pack. That 1,000 boxes is probably going to touch at least 4 or 5 or maybe 6 people per box, because it goes to one kid and then all the family around it. That would touch 6,000 people. In 2020, with the gospel, we won't do anything though compared to that. And when we start handing out those boxes, you begin to put many under your arm and get ready. Save up and get ready. Start shopping now if you want to, and get ready, because it will be a tremendous thing when we see that happen. Now, more than just Operation Christmas Child, some of the greatest and new expansions are going to be international. And Timothy talked about that last in the announcements. We're going to be going to Argentina. Dan and Timothy have already been there and kind of scoped out the need and how that we would match up with what they're doing. The informational meeting will be next Sunday after this hour, after next hour. And see how you can go, either ways to go in person, or how you can go by financially supporting somebody else that goes, or how you can go by praying. And never underestimate your prayers for these people that would be going, and to pray for them. Go to that informational meeting and begin to look how we can partner with a church there that not only is a church, but they're educating and they're training other pastors and they're linking up with the seminary here to have courses that are actually accredited courses in the future, and we can be a part of that. It'll be an incredible thing that we'll have in the future. We did not get to go to Haiti last year, and that was another partnership. We did not get to go because it had become so dangerous. But that has gone by the wayside. And now, somewhere in 2020, we'll be looking toward the end of the year of going also to Haiti. That's a lot closer trip, and many of you could be a part of going to Haiti. Okay, that's a little bit of what we'll see expanding in 2020 in missions. There ought to be something down on the inside of you tingling right now to know this is what our church is going to do, and I can be a part of it. The next part is our vision for worship. Our vision for worship. Okay, hold on for a moment. When I say our vision for worship, what comes to your mind? In all honesty, what comes to your mind? Music and a message? Music and a message? Before we even talk about a vision about worship, we got to understand what worship is. And would it shock you to know that it has very little to do with music or a message, either one? We got a wonderful worship team. That doesn't mean we worship. And we have incredible messages. That doesn't mean we worship. What is worship? What is worship? I think right now would be a good time to look at some of what the Bible would say about that. Jesus told the Pharisees one time, this is in Matthew chapter 15. He said, your mouth proclaims worship, but your heart is far from me. It's all a facade. You impress people with what you say. Will you impress people with all your fasting? You've impressed people with all your traditions. But I see your heart, and it's empty. It's zero. The first thing about worship, we have to look at worship in the inside out. We can't start by looking what it looks like on the outside, inside out. And what worship is and begins in the heart, it's a heart issue. It's something that takes place, and I have no idea if you're worshiping or not. Because I have no idea totally what is going on inside of your heart. And then if you go to John chapter 4, you remember the woman at the well, and she said, well, you know, our people, they worship over here, and you say you have to go to Jerusalem. He said, hey, lady, there's coming a time that you're only going to think about the place to worship, that you worship. You worship in spirit and in truth. What do you mean by that? In spirit is a heart issue. You worship in the very heart of your being and in the truth. If you don't have a clear understanding of God, you can't worship. You'll worship a God that you create. That's the reason why the second commandment says, don't create any other gods before me. Don't do that. The better you see God, the better you understand God, the better you know God, the better you are equipped to worship Him. Paul said it this way. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You've got something to sacrifice. Your time, your wealth, your talent. Become a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. What you give Him is acceptable to Him, which is your reasonable act of what? Worship. Worship. Hadn't said anything about singing yet. Hadn't said anything about a sermon yet. It's all about the heart and what flows from our heart. Then that is seen, certainly, from the outside. We begin to see how that is demonstrated in service. In fact, I find it very interesting that this word, your reasonable act of worship, is also translated as service. Now, let me give you, this might help out in what we want to see in worship. Let me give you some words that will set off a beep. You know, when you back your, does your automobile have a beep? You're in the back of them, you go beep, 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 beep. What does it mean? You're about to crash. Okay. Let me give you a little beep, 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 beep. Just write them down. One is a critical spirit. Beep, 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 beep. You're not going to worship. Do you have a critical spirit this morning? Critical of somebody that maybe at home, maybe at work, maybe critical spirit. An unclean spirit. You know there's things you need to repent of. You know you're doing some things that you ought not do. Beep, 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 beep. You're not living a life that's holy and acceptable to God. Beep, 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 beep. Don't you like the beep, beep, beep? You can put that in your notes also if you want to. If you got a resisting spirit, God's tugging your heart for something and you're resisting Him. Beep, 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 beep. If you got a selfish streak in you, and we all deal with that. Beep, 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 beep. And you walk in here and autopilot and go through the motions. Beep, 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 beep. Okay, what if we hooked up a worship meter? And this worship meter would peg over to glory to God. What kinds of things that would peg that over to the glory of God? Let me give you some. Overflowing with love to God and others. Love means you're sacrificing to meet the need of somebody else. Pegs over. Forgiving somebody. Somebody's hurt you. Somebody did you wrong. That could have happened this morning at home. To forgive. If you've got an unforgiving spirit, you're out of business in worship. Another thing that'll peg that needle over to glory to God is humility. Unselfishness. Grateful. Patience. Tuned in to God. Close fellowship with other believers. Serving. Would you believe you can go in and take care of babies on Sunday morning? A needle could peg over to glory to God. You could serve in the children's area. You can know, serving, 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 serving. Sharing your life with somebody. Sharing your time, sharing your finances, sharing your wealth, sharing your love with them. Pegs it over. Vision begins by seeing authentic worship. Now, what do we do with this 30 minutes or so that we have on Sunday morning to sing? Well, we got some vision for that. We want to continue to stretch the envelope of our worship experience so that we have a refreshment in that. And we'd like to introduce, not all the time, but we'd like to introduce some other instruments. I'm still praying for a banjo, a harmonica. Oh, not every week, a piccolo, a mandolin, A fiddle, not a violin, a fiddle. And I'd like to see a stretch beyond the songs that we've been in, continue to introduce new songs. And I know you stammer around with the words, but a lot of times, if you'll just focus on that being words to God. We're going to be adding to the tech team, people doing the sound and people doing the camera, people doing the PowerPoint. Some of those you're gifted in, and that's a place that you could serve. Another thing that we're going to look at is the sound in here still isn't quite right, and you know that. We got areas that are dead, and we're working with another company now that how to straighten that up. And so we have full confidence that we're going to get that straightened out. But that's part of our vision, so that we can hear better. Okay, what about the messages? let me tell you what we kind of, this week and next week, we'll talk about vision. And then the week after that, it's going to be a series on refocus. Really refocusing on discipleship and growing, and how that you can refocus to get your life on track of really becoming a disciple and making disciples. And then after that, we're going to need your help. This next series, we're going to need your help. It'll be questions. See that card in front of you there? You just put on there the question. Here's the question I have, or here's the question that my unchurched friend has. We're going for this January and February, we're going to collect those cards. And then we're going to try to put them together. And I don't know how long this series will last, 1 or 2 years. I don't know. I don't know how long it'll last. But one of the surveys in the UK, they were trying to figure out why are so many people leaving the church, and they found many were saying, the church never did answer my question. What's your question? We'll roll up our sleeve, and we'll try to search out from Scripture how that might be answered, and we'll work on it together. So your assignment is begin to work on questions that'll be turned in. And then when we finish that up, starting in around the fall time, we're going to do a teaming with our small groups again, and that'll be from the book of Acts. And we will spend 20 weeks. Now our vision is 2021. We'll spend 20 weeks in the book of Acts. It is a fast-moving, exciting book. And it'd be good if you wanted to start reading it now. Okay. Next week, we'll talk more about more ministries. The next gen is one I'm extremely excited about. Because that's the future of our church. And we're already seeing wonderful things happen there. But God's not finished. Number four, I'm not finished either. Be ready to act on every opportunity. If we want to not just float, be ready to act on every opportunity. Verse 19 says, Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? Are you blind? Look, he's saying, look, can you not see it? You could miss it, is what he's saying. You could miss it. Why? Because about every God-ordained vision seems impossible. Because it's bigger than we are. And fear will grab a hold of us and take charge of us if we don't watch out. Just keep in mind that those opportunities there, can you see them? They're bigger than you can handle. They're bigger than I can handle. And without God, we're sunk. Number five, keep moving forward in the wilderness times. Some of you have had a tough time in 2019, full of heartache. But you have to keep moving forward. Look, it says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness. Jesus said, man, that's where I am now. I'm in the wilderness. Some of your time alone with God seemed like a wilderness. God will allow you to go through wilderness times. I don't like it. But Moses certainly experienced the wilderness. And I was going to put a map on the, but I couldn't really have the best map in the world. But if you look at going from Egypt to the land of Canaan, there was a short route straight across. And God led them through the wilderness down to Sinai and back up. 40 years. God knows where you are. The wilderness you're experiencing right now, God sees and knows. Joshua and Caleb had been there. They knew, but no one else did. And they doubted a lot of times. They were fearful. In fact, when Joshua and Caleb went to spy it out, all the rest of them said, yes, it's a great land, but man alive, they're bigger than we are. They'll overtake us. So they wandered around until that generation was gone. Don't miss it. God has a vision for your life. I don't care your capabilities or your age. Don't say anything about your age. It has nothing to do with it. So get rid of that excuse right now. And look for the vision that God has for your life. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for Briarcliff. Thank you for what we've seen happen in 6 short years. But let us lift our eyes off of that to the days ahead, realizing that it's bigger than us. A lot of the things we'll face will be impossible. There'll be times that we'll fear because we're in over our head. There'll be times that it's not real clear and we thought we knew, and now it becomes more clear. Now we see we need to make readjustments. Every person here, you have a vision for them. And you're not finished with them on planet Earth, because when you're finished with them on planet Earth, you'll come and take them home. But as long as we're here, you've got a vision for our life. God, help us to be faithful in that and blaze the trail.